Good morning, everybody. It's a great privilege to be here, as always. And I have to say, I'm amazed. I don't know if anyone else has the same feelings that I have, but when you listen to Rabbi Rosner in particular talk about Simchas HaTorah, I don't think he needs to say much other than just to get up and speak. He exudes what Simchas HaTorah is all about, and it's always a tremendous privilege to watch that and to be a part of it and to be inspired by what that means for all of us. Ma'ahavti Torasecha kol hayom hi sichasi. The pasuk in Tehillim, as we are all familiar with, tells us how Torah is misos chayenu. Torah is what our lives are meant to be all about. Ki heim chayenu v'orech yamenu uvahem nege yomam v'layla. This is what we are all meant to be busy with. This is what we are all supposed to do. How better to spend a day off on January 1st than to celebrate the Torah, or at least to come together in the morning to learn Torah together and to inspire each other? That's really what our lives are meant to be all about. That really is what kavod in life is all about. Like the Mesilas Yesharim writes, "Hakavod ha'amiti eino ela yediyas ha'Torah be'emes." Writes the Mesilas Yesharim, you'd like to know what real kavod in life is all about. What is it to be a dignified human being? Says the Mesilas Yesharim, it is yediyas ha'Torah be'emes. Somebody who is able to get to the honest truth of what God wanted to teach us in His Torah. That is the truly dignified person. Somebody who is able to accomplish that is in a different league. And the Chazon Ish writes, I was always inspired by this letter of the Chazon Ish. He actually has two letters in the Igros Chazon Ish. Both of them describe, I think, himself. But in his humility, he's not talking about himself. He just says, what is it like to be a person who is a Lomed HaTorah, to be somebody who's engaged in any aspect of Torah? Doesn't have to be that you learned all of Shas. In any endeavor, in any engagement that we have, writes the Chazon Ish, Amnam, Ha'ish HaZocha LiYediyas HaTorah, somebody who has the privilege of not only studying, but also getting to an understanding where they remember what it is that they have studied, writes the Chazon Ish, in my opinion, it is Hu Holech Bein Anashim, he looks like a regular human being. This person walks around the streets like all of us, goes to the supermarket like the rest of us, has to fill up their car with gas, gets a flat tire, does everything else that all regular human beings need to do. However, writes the Chazon Ish, he looks like a ben adam avo be'emes hu malach hagar im b'nei temusa. Writes the Chazon Ish, in truth, this is an angel among men. V'chai chaye atzilus umerome malkol bracha utihila. Writes the Chazon Ish, they are living a completely different existence, an entirely different experience. It looks similar. It seems like they're one of us, but they're in a league of their own. They look like Bnei Adam, that they truly are Malachim. On top of our obligation, as we know, to learn Torah and to study as much as we can, we also have a mitzvah to master and to retain the Torah that we learn. So it's not important only to make time to be koveya itim, hafti torasecha, to show that it's a priority, but also to make sure that we master and we retain the information that we study. So much so that the great Bala Tanya writes in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, one of the most authoritative halacha svarim that we have. So the Shulchan Aruch Harav writes that when we talk about our obligation of Talmud Torah, it is chayiv hu min haTorah lisker lo milamed sheyilamdenu heitiv. If I don't have the ability to learn Torah on my own, not all of us have that privilege, not all of that have that opportunity, not everybody knows how to open a sefer and understand it on their own, writes the Bala Tanya, so then what is my obligation? What should I do? I feel like an outsider. And he says, don't ever feel like an outsider, because you too have an obligation, and that is, lisker lo melameid sheyilamdenu heitev. So your privilege in this shul, Bershus the Mara Da'asra, to have somebody who knows Yilam Denu Heitev, who knows how to teach Torah properly, how to inspire, how to engage, and how to transmit the values of Torah, and says the Bala Tanya, that is part of our individual obligation to make sure that we put ourselves in a place where we can have that opportunity. If I can't learn on my own, at least I'll have a chance to learn from somebody else who knows how to teach me effectively. And what does an effective teacher mean? What kind of teacher should I look for? Says the Bala Tanya, the objective of all of that is Leida kol haTorah shebichsav v'shebalpeh. An effective teacher is one who is able to make sure that in the end, I know Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. An effective teacher is not somebody who is only able to keep me awake while I'm speaking. That's very nice. But a really effective teacher is somebody who is able to make sure that they give it over with such clarity that I'm able to have an understanding not only while I'm there, but I'm able to have some kind of retention. So we're all human beings. We can't remember everything. But the objective of learning Torah is to master Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. And this really is not only the objective of learning Torah, but also the Torah itself writes, Hishamar lecha ushmar nafshecha miyod, pen tishkach es hadvarim asher ro'u einecha. Many Rishonim understand that to mean that we have not only an obligation to remember, but we also have a violation. It's a lav if we forget. Now that's a very lofty expectation, and the Rishonim try to understand, what does the Torah expect of me? How can I remember everything? So Rabbeinu Yonah writes, the reason why we must make sure to remember pen tishkach es hadvarim, says Rabbeinu Yonah, very practical. Because imagine I went to the rabbi's shir, and I'm sitting at the shir and I'm listening and it's beautiful and it's great. And I remember he spoke about something. I remember he was talking about Amir la'akub on Shabbos. But now, next Shabbos, a question comes up and the neighbor knocks on the door and says, you know, we have a shaila. I'm not sure. We are allowed to ask the Nachri who's around the corner to do this kind of malacha for us. And I say, yeah, I was at the rabbi's shir last week. Well, what did he say? Ah, well, he did speak about Amir la'akub, but I don't quite know what he said about this case. I don't remember. Well, says Rabbeinu Yonah, if you're not going to be able to apply all that you've learned to the scenario when it actually comes up, then of what good is all the learning? So says Rabbeinu Yonah, it's a very practical consideration. Why does the Torah say, Hishamar lecha ushmar nafshecha miyod? Why do we need to put a focus on trying to retain the information that we study, the Torah that we learn? It's because otherwise we don't know how to live life as Jews. This is the guidebook for all that we do in our lives, and if we don't know exactly with clarity what it is that we should do, we will do the wrong thing. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, that's why we need to remember. But the Rashbeitz, one of the Gdolei HaRishonim, who was from the family of the Ramban, Miyotzei Chalatzav Shel HaRamban, lived in the 1300s, the Rashbeitz writes, no. I understand that those who came before me said, the reason why we need to retain the Torah is because otherwise I'm going to make a mistake, I'm going to give a wrong psak. Says the Rashbeitz, it has nothing to do with that. It is intrinsically important to remember the Torah. It is inherently valuable. If something is important enough to you, you remember it. I always wonder. You walk into a Home Depot, and the store, at least to me, is overwhelming. I'm looking for one item. I have three left hands. I don't know how to do anything, but I certainly don't know how to find anything in a Home Depot. When it comes to tools, when it comes to fixing things in the house, I don't know how to do a thing, but I do know how to go to the store and ask somebody. So I walk over to somebody who works in the store who's wearing that red jacket, and I say, can you show me, where do you sell this item in the store? And immediately, it happens not to be anywhere near where they're standing. They say, aisle 64, if you look on the top shelf, you'll find exactly what you're looking for. And I'm always amazed. Do they hire the smartest people in the world to work in Home Depot? Hard for me to imagine that all of them somehow ended up there or in Walmart. It's amazing. And somehow, you ask them a question, they know exactly where it is. You go into the supermarket, you can't find an item, you ask one of the workers there, they know exactly where it is. How can that be? Because if it's important enough to you, because you know your job depends on it. Because if I know that if I don't have clarity for where every item is in the store, they're going to fire me. I'm only worthy of working here because I know the malacha, because I know the job well, and I know everything that I'm expected to know. That's why I'm worthy of working in this store. It's not because they're all so brilliant. It's because they know that it's important for them to know that, says the Rashbeitz. If your understanding of Torah is such that this is the most important part of our lives, kihem chayeinu v'orech yameinu, do you ever forget to eat lunch? Did you ever forget to wake up in the morning? Did you ever forget to breathe? Did you ever forget to go to something that was of real import to you in your life? Obviously not. Well, says the Rashbeitz, how would you ever forget a word of Torah if this is what's most important to you in your life? I know that my experience of growing up was different than probably everyone here, or almost everybody here. I don't know all of your parents. But I always was amazed when people came to talk to me about my father and they said, your father is such a genius, it's amazing. I learned with my father B'Chavrusa for 10 years when I was in YU. He's a smart person. He's above average intelligence. But I can tell you, from learning with him, he is not a genius. He does not remember everything that he ever heard. He doesn't have a complete recall of anything that he's ever seen. There were many times in the 10 years that I learned with my father that we were stuck on a Gemara, on a Rashi, on a Tosfos, whatever the sugya was, for a week straight. He had no idea what was going on. And it was a liberating feeling for me that how many times do I sit down to learn a Gemara and I have no idea what's happening? And here I am sitting with my father who also has to work hard to figure it out. I remember clearly one time that happened was there's a sugya Maseches Beitza. I learned Maseches Beitza with my father four times, the whole Masechta, in different stages of my life. And I remember that when we were learning the sugya about Mafkia, Matir, Vachotech, Rabbi Adler, I'm sure, is familiar with this, as is Rabbi Rosner, and I'm sure many others, where the Gemara has all complicated details of how exactly are you allowed to cut something that's attached to the ground on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, complicated details of what exactly the Gemara means. So I remember we were going through the sugya, and my father told me, I have no idea what's happening here. I really don't understand it. So there was a guy sitting next to him who was waiting to ask a question. He says, Rav Shechter, do you want me to get the art scroll? So I said to him afterward, let me explain to you. When my father says he doesn't understand, it's different than when you say you don't understand. But the point was, we were stuck on the sugya for like a week. And just trying to figure out what the Gemara is getting at, and what does Rashi mean, what does the Tosfos mean, how do you put it all together? And it's relevant and it's significant because the whole Shaila today in our generation about opening bottles on Shabbos comes back to that sugya in the Gemara. And the many times that I've asked my father, what is your opinion about opening bottles on Shabbos? He says, I really can't have an opinion because I don't understand the sugya itself, which is the source. So obviously he has an opinion, but the point is, Torah is hard to understand, and we struggle for all of it, and it's not because he's a genius that he knows what he knows. For all of us who have interacted with him, you know that he knows a lot. I see that my father loves the Torah like nothing else. I have never in my life, I've been in so many places with him, I have never in my life seen my father without a sefer in his hand. Never. We used to go places as children. We were kids. My father couldn't understand. He doesn't give Musar. He was not giving us Musar at all. He could not understand how we would leave the house without a sefer. We were children. And he would look at us like we were crazy. What are you going to do if there's a line? What else are you going to be busy with? We didn't have cell phones then. What are you going to do? You're going somewhere without a sefer? It wasn't in a derogatory way, and he wasn't giving us Musar. He was just like pointing out, what else would you do? How else are you going to spend the extra time? If somebody cares enough about the Torah, says the Rashbeitz, they will make sure, you won't forget it. You know why you won't forget it? Because it's important enough. Like the person who works in the Home Depot doesn't forget what they need to remember, you will not forget either what's important to you. The Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, I know I look like I'm turning a lot of pages, but I'll just tell you that I want to respect the time of Rabbi Tarragon, and I have to apologize in advance. I had something scheduled before he asked me to speak here, so I'm sorry that I'm going to walk out after I finish here. It's not because I don't love him. I do very much, and I thank him for putting this beautiful morning together. So the Mishnah writes in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Chamisha Talmidim Hayulel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai had five Talmidim, and each one of them was unique. Each one of them was special. Rabbi Elazar Ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Shua Ben Chananya. And then the Mishnah goes on to tell us about each one of these great Tanaim. And the Mishnah says there, Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus was a bar sid she'eino ma'abe tipa. He was a brilliant person. A bar sid she'eino ma'abe tipa. He didn't lose anything that he ever studied. He remembered it all. It was all in his head. That's an amazing accomplishment. A little bit hard to understand why the Mishnah is pointing out that he was a genius. I mean, that's a God-given talent. What the Mishnah says about everybody else is they worked hard for this and they figured something out, or there was something unique that they accomplished. But what is the accomplishment of Rebbe Elazar? Yes, he was a brilliant person. A bar sid she'eino ma'abe tipa, but why are you telling me that? Where writes the Tiferes Yisrael, I'll explain to you. He says, Rebbe Elazar ben Hurkanus, although we are told in another medrash that he had a problem with his zikaron, he was not a genius. He was not able to remember everything. However, it says that because he had a tshuka rabba, He writes that this is what caused Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus to remember everything that he studied, not because he was brilliant, but rather because he cared more than everybody else, because he was more excited than everybody else, because it mattered to him more than it mattered to everybody else. And that's why in the end he accomplished being the person who was a bar sid she'eno ma'abed tipa. He was that bottomless pit that nothing ever fell out of, not because he was a genius, but because he cared, and because it was really important to him. And that really is what our focus needs to be. How important is the Torah to us? How much do we make sure to remember and to retain the information, because we know that this is what's of real import to us in our lives? So much so that the Gemara writes in Maseches Sanhedrin, Tchilas dino shel adam al divrei Torah. It's the day that none of us look forward to, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have that difficult conversation with us, reviewing the Koros Chayenu, reviewing what took place in our lives, and what did we do? How did we take responsibility? How did we spend the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of having in this world? And says the Gemara, Tchilas dino shel adam al divrei Torah, the first thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to demand an answer for is, how much responsibility did we take for the Torah that we had the privilege to study? How much did we take advantage of that opportunity, of that great privilege? That is really what our lives are meant to be focused on and to be all about. Let me just share with you a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that is a famous Mishnah, but something that I've always been inspired by because it gives such a different perspective to the experience of Talmud Torah. So the Mishnah there says, Asara sheyoshvim va'oskim ha-Torah shechina shruya b'neihem. If you have 10 people sitting around and studying Torah together, the Shechina will be present. How do we know? Because it says, Elokim nitzav ba'adas keil. Ask the Mishnah, minayin afilu chamisha, how do I know even 5 who are sitting and learning Torah, that the Shechina comes? So the Mishnah brings a pasuk. Minayin afilu shlosha, how do I know even if 3 people are sitting together? How do I know even 2 people? How do I know minayin afilu echad? How do I know even if one person sits down by themselves, you come home late at night, I sit on the couch, I open a Tehillim, I don't have a head to learn anything else, I can't learn Chumash, I can't learn Mishnayos, I open a Tehillim, I sit down, I'm just going to have a few moments with the Ribono Shel Olam. How do you know that he's there as well? Minayin afilu echad? Says the Mishnah, because b'chol ha-makom asher azkir es shemi avo elecha uverachticha. Because God promised us. B'chol ha-makom asher azkir ha-shemi. Anywhere that my name is mentioned, avo elecha uverachticha, I will come and I will bless you. So number one, the Binyan Sion, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, one of the great tzaddikim. In the 1800s, he writes, how do you understand this? If it says that God is going to be there when one person studies Torah, why do we need to say that he's going to be there when 10 people study Torah? Of course, isn't that obvious? And secondly, he says, why do we daven every day v'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim? If we already have godliness in our world by the fact that we study Torah and the Ribono Shel Olam promised that he's going to be there with us, why do we need Tzion? Why do we need a Beis HaMikdash? We have it already. Don't we have this experience? Don't we have the opportunity? So the Binyan Sion explains very simply that presence of Shechina is not always felt in the same way. Sometimes it is intensified, sometimes you can feel it reinforced, and sometimes there are different degrees and different measures of Shechina that one can experience. One person learns Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be there in a certain sense, but not in the same potency as he will be if there are 2 people learning Torah. 2 people who learn Torah, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there together with them, but if you have 10 people learning Torah, imagine what that would feel like. And imagine with all of that, what it will feel like when v'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion berachamim. When the Ribono Shel Olam comes in full force in the Beis HaMikdash, in the concentrated form, that, writes the Binyan Sion, is what we pray for. Of course, we have some kind of experience of engaging with the Shechina today, and this is a great privilege and a great opportunity, but at the same time, it's not the full experience of what it means to be reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when looking at the words of this Mishnah, B'chala makom asher azkira shemi, the Mishnah says, wherever my name will be mentioned, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, avo elecho ve'rachticha. How do you know when a vart is emes? Hard to know. Sometimes you hear a vart, you say, okay, it's nice, maybe it's true, maybe it's not. When the Noam Elimelech says the same thing as the Nefesh HaChaim, you know that it's true. That's the Masorah I have from Rav Asher Weiss. So he told me this in the name of the Noam Elimelech and from the Nefesh HaChaim. Both have the same insight and give the same answer. So it's true. And they point out, why does the Torah say, B'chala makom asher azkir es shemi, wherever my name will be mentioned? It should say, B'chala makom asher tazkiru, or something of that effect. It should say, wherever you will mention my name, I will come and I will participate. What does it mean, B'chala makom asher azkir, wherever I will mention my name, I will be there, I will be present? And they both explain so beautifully based on a Gemara Maseches Gittin in the first parak, where the Gemara tells us that there were two Talmidei Chachamim who were arguing about the story of Pileges Begiva, trying to understand it, and one had his opinion and the other one had his opinion. And then somebody comes across, I think it's Eliyahu HaNavi, and they ask, what is God doing right now? What is He studying? What is He busy with? And Eliyahu HaNavi says, actually, it's funny, because right now the Ribbono Shel Olam happens to be having this discussion about how to understand the story of Pileges Begiva. Is it like this or is it like that? What does it mean when the Navi describes that story of Pileges Begiva? How do we interpret it? And writes the Nefesh HaChaim as well as the Noam Elimelech, what it means is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'chala makom asher azkira shemi, you sit down to learn. You're Maver Sedra, you learn a Mishnah, you learn a Black Gemara, you sit down to read a Tehillim. Do you know what's happening in the Ribbono Shel Olam's world at that time? Azkir es shemi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying the words along with you. How inspiring is that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is learning along with me. Every word that I say, He's saying along with me. It's not just that I'm inviting Him into the process. It's not just that He feels comfortable joining in when we have people who gather together to learn Torah, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is an active participant. He says the words along with us because He cares that much about what it is that we're doing at that time. And writes the Nefesh HaChaim, that's what the Mishnah means to teach us. Understand the gift and the privilege that we have to learn Torah, and it is important enough that the Ribbono Shel Olam Himself takes out of His schedule and makes it a priority, not only to join us, but also to say the words along with us as we say them. That is a tremendous privilege. That is an unbelievable gift, and that should not be taken lightly. The Chafetz Chaim has an amazing letter. It's printed in his Sefer Al HaTorah, where he writes, Kama mu'ushar chayev adam lios. How satisfied, how gratified we should feel. V'kama shofar alav chelko ba'olam hazeh. How lucky we are in this world. Now, we have many reasons to be feeling lucky and happy because we have so many wonderful things that go on. We have a lot of painful moments, but we also have an opportunity to celebrate in life and to appreciate the gifts that God gives us. But writes the Chafetz Chaim, you know why we should feel privileged? One of the reasons is, God gave us a venue, He gave us a mechanism in which we can connect with Him in this world, in which we can unite with Him just by living life. And how is that? You have the opportunity to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu any moment that you choose to connect with Him. It's amazing. It's an opportunity we're given in this world that, writes the Chafetz Chaim, we will not have in the world to come. This privilege, this opportunity is only given to us while we are here. However, he says, Kishihu niftar uba le'olam ha'emes. What happens in the Olam ha'emes? Everybody thinks, oh, we'll be connected with God in a way in which we never were before. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Zechus zu eina metzuya b'yado shel adam. That is not the way it works. Kishehu nifter ba le'olam ha'emes, mechitzos rabos mafridos beino lebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are so many barriers, so many obstacles that stand between myself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You ever been to a stadium? For those of us who are going to go today, I don't know where everybody's sitting, but you're there. But there are so many barriers, there are so many separations between me and the focus of the event. So I feel connected, I feel like I'm there, but I'm still removed. I am not the center of the event. And there, he writes, we are going to wish that we had the great opportunity that we have here every day of our lives. How lucky we are, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, how lucky we are that God gives us this privilege every single day of life. He gives us this opportunity to connect with Him, to learn Torah with Him, to invite Him into this process of Talmud Torah. How lucky we are to have that opportunity, and how upsetting it will be when we turn around and realize that this gift is not going to be a gift for all eternity. It's a gift that we have here, and it's something that only lasts when we take advantage of this incredible chance, of this incredible possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Doesn't really make so much sense when you think about it. We have the ability to connect with something that is very hard to connect with. We have the ability to invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the lives that we live, into the Torah that we study, into the Kedusha that we invite and engage in our own lives. Doesn't really make so much logical sense. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that privilege and gave us that opportunity. V'chaye olam nata b'sochenu. Ma'ahavti Torasecha. It's not just, like Rabbi Rosner mentioned, that we should have a simchas haTorah, that we should be excited about what we learn, but we should be excited about the fact that we can reconnect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day of our lives. Ki hi mesos chayenu. This is our life. This is the enjoyment of life itself. And this is what life is all about. Like the Rashbeit says, the iser to forget one's Torah is not because we're afraid they're going to make a mistake in the psak or how they will lead their lives. It is a far more fundamental problem. It means that a person doesn't fully appreciate what Torah is meant to be. Intrinsically, we need to realize that Torah needs to be remembered not for any other reason, but because it is the Torah itself. And it should be that important to us that we don't forget it. If it's important that I remember my anniversary, then I won't forget it. If it's important to me that I remember my children's names and important information about them, I will never forget that. If it's important to me that I have the privilege of studying God's Torah, I will make sure never to forget that either. I thank you once again for opening this beautiful shul. And thank you, Rabbi Tarrigan, for putting together this wonderful program.